This is The Worth Report. Today, we discuss one of the most important parts of your financial future, life insurance. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, here with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, we're here again this morning. This has been some week. Man, yes. How's your week going?
Yes. Well, personally, it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, I know I say that most weeks, man. It's a blessing to be here. You know, everything's pretty good.
Yeah, I felt good too, man. I was down in New York City this past week at a...
Yeah, that's right.
Man. It was a good feeling, man. I was down there with some of my friends, man. They were, you know, each year, the second week of August, all throughout New York City and many of the communities, they're closing out the summer and you know, issuing in the new season, really. And so there are celebrations going on. There's Harlem Week. There's Cambridge Heights Queens Week over in Queens, New York. There's lots of basketball tournaments uptown, Harlem, and just this amazing, amazing time. I went down with my son, and we hung out. We just had a good time seeing old friends, you know?
Oh, that's good. I know he enjoyed having time with Pops, too.
Oh, yeah. It was real cool. It was
good,
real cool. Now, I have to say, though, that several weeks ago, my wife took our daughters on a similar kind of fun weekend, and they went to Miami Beach. So that was exciting. So my son and I, we go to Queens.
Okay, got it.
And so
big difference.
Oh, the contrast, man, is just amazing. In fact, they stayed in like a 3-star hotel, and we stayed in a Radisson, really. That
that says it all.
By
right
the airport,
there.
Man, and the whole you know setup, man. It was just very different, man. I looked at my son and said, "This is your life, man.
Yeah,
this is how it's gonna go down for
it.
You.
That's it.
That's right. So
something to look forward to.
So that was the deal, man. So guys, you know, time out. Anyway, so this week, man, we're gonna return to that really rich conversation we had last week, man. I was thinking about it all week. We talked about wealth creation and the wealth gap between so many Americans. And in many cases, this this presidential campaign sort of hedges on that. That's like the backdrop, right?
Sure does.
Of what's at stake. And of course, I can't not mention presidential candidate Trump's appeal to African-Americans this week. It was an amazing statement he made, essentially, quite frankly, I felt somewhat insulted by it, partly because he didn't say it to African-Americans. He said it in front of an all-white audience, which certainly he probably educated, I suppose, but it was just really amazing, the depth of the things he said and how he said it. And I was just slightly offended by it. But anyway, that's...
Just slightly, huh?
Yeah, well, that typifies the problem, I think, in terms of this wealth gap. All the stats that we cited last week, there's also sort of an implicit and explicit bias in terms of how certain communities are viewed. Mm-hmm. And it sort of came out, I think, in his commentary. But anyway, I transition here. So where do you want to go back to in this conversation? That's a good part, I think, talking about Trump. But where do you want to go with this week?
Well, when we talk about leadership, I think it's important to, I'll just say this, it's important to have some type of empathy.
Yes.
And so many people have entitlements. People talk about entitlements as far as Social Security and Medicare.
Yes.
But, you know, what about the entitlement that you're born with? And it's interesting to see if you can have empathy to think about people who weren't or are not in your situation to try to help them.
Well, that's a good point. But that point was driven home to me going back to my neighborhoods. And I lived in Queens and also community in Brooklyn. And, you know, there's a lot of great people I grew up with. But I could tell, and I always knew this, that they just didn't have the shot that maybe you and I had, right, to make it out. So certainly we exercise, I think, good judgment in many ways, but also there's a bit of grace and mercy. There are things that we were saved from that should have happened.
Amen.
And then, of course, we were shown a tremendous favor and fortunate that we were able to get out of the places that we grew up in. Yeah. And we only would hope, going back to your point, the sense of humility, that others would have the same opportunities. But quite frankly, much of what we've been talking about, the system seems to be tightening its grip around economic opportunity. And this is what we're talking about today.
You're right. it makes me think about information. And the good thing now is we live in the information age. I think yes. about my grandparents and maybe their parents, and even to some degree, my parents.
Yes.
How information wasn't readily available.
That's right.
So you look at different communities, they were offered different offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And some were good and some were very bad.
Right.
Hopefully you're in the right community to get the right offering.
That's right.
But now we live in the information age where although it may not be accessible, if you can keep up with everybody, if you live in Charlotte, you're keeping up with people in Seattle and California
right.
and
right.
Japan and all of these places, then
right.
you can also have the opportunity to look at and find the information that may right. be located in those other communities so you can also bring them
right.
to yours.
That's a good point. That's a good
so.
Point. When I think about myself, you know, I was very fortunate to get the you know, academic and financial support to go to college through an organization called the Education Opportunity Program, right?
Okay.
Which was supported by the state, New York State Education Department. And this was in the 70s. Today, for a whole range of reasons, loss of money to the states, you know, those programs are gone. Those education opportunities are gone. I would have never had a chance to get a shot, right? And so you and I and others are committed to keeping the door open.
Absolutely.
For others, right?
Absolutely.
But when those organizations or those resources dry up, you know, what's supposed to happen, right? I mean, it makes it life more difficult, really.
Well, you look at the state of California, for instance, when it comes to education, they changed the affirmative action laws a few years ago in 2011.
Right.
And since then,
yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You look at minority candidates to their public institutions, the enrollments
right.
have gone down quite dramatically. So that's a clear case. Now, what happens to people or community when they don't have the education? We've
right.
talked about that on the show,
right.
how that leads to poor health.
Absolutely.
Which leads to ultimately an early death
That's
or
right.
and or incarceration
right.
where there aren't any opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to focus on and really talk about and just take it home,
mm-hmm.
something that hit me, there was a couple in Atlanta, Georgia, and the actual male, he owned a food truck,
mm-hmm.
and they were in talks to go ahead and actually get a restaurant. Okay, so he's from Jamaica. He does, you know, jerk chicken and
wow.
all those type of foods.
All right, I like it already.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to do this, and his wife, who was a hairstylist, stopped and left her business to help support and do the books for his food truck.
Wow.
And it started to really become successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they have three children. They were really excited about all the opportunities. Well, Memorial Day weekend, he was on a motorcycle, got into an accident, and died.
Wow.
Now,
that's very sad.
What happened, it's very sad. And what makes it even more sad is he had all the recipes in his head, so he never wrote them down.
You got to be kidding me.
He had no estate planning. So now they literally have no business. She left her business, so now she has no clientele. She has no business. Now they're looking to move. Her and her three kids are moving back to Seattle because they don't know how to, you know, function again in Atlanta. The key words that I saw, no estate planning. This guy was in his mid-30s
wow.
and thought he had his life ahead of him. He had plenty of time to help his family. Plenty of time to write down those recipes for the food truck.
That's incredible.
And that was never done. So one of the first things is, I like to give people solutions
yes,
to these problems
course.
Because
mm-hmm.
they happen all the time. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. We always have time to plan. We'll always do it later. However, we need to look at doing something now. So no estate planning. If you love somebody.
No estate planning.
If you love somebody, buy life insurance. Life insurance is a powerful instrument. Life insurance was started hundreds of years ago in England, and it could only be sold to nobility.
Okay? Is that right?
To nobility. So you had to be of great wealth in order to get life insurance. So it must be something good about this life insurance.
Absolutely.
If they could get it, right?
Absolutely.
But now what that does is it ensures that you can pass down a legacy to the next generation. So even if you have business assets or your money's tied up in land, things you don't want to liquidate upon your death, the life insurance helps you to actually keep what you have and still pass a windfall. The beautiful part about life insurance is income tax free. You pay pennies on the dollar. And for a 35-year-old male, he could have received a term policy of $1 million for literally $20 a month. And if once he passes, $1 million income tax free passes to his family. It's the biggest tax loophole in the code by far.
Wow.
And that's just on the death part of it, death insurance.
Right. Just, exactly.
But to
the
your
death benefit, right?
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Nick, I think about my grandparents and the people in the community in which I grew up. They were sold debit policies where there were life insurance policies that were paid on weekly. So we may have a $5,000, $10,000 debt benefit. You pay $5 or $6 every week on it. So you pay. I've met people that paid on it for years.
Wow.
And they ended up dying and ended up getting $200, if anything.
Really?
Even though they may have spent thousands of dollars into it. So I believe that is straight from the enemy for a reason. So
yes,
now you have people, maybe even some of our listeners, who, because of what happened to their parents or
right.
maybe grandparents,
right.
they think life insurance is bad. You look up and you Google life insurance
right.
and you find all these sales. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying some people are sold the wrong types.
Oh, sure.
However, mm-hmm. life insurance is a mm-hmm. powerful mechanism.
Yeah.
Something else about life mm-hmm. insurance that on how this person could have used it. You can have what we just talked about, life insurance when you die. That's really death insurance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But also you can have life insurance that has cash values inside of it. Now, get this. You put money into a life insurance
mm-hmm.
policy.
Mm-hmm.
The money inside the policy, some of it goes to pay for the cost of insurance. The other part goes into what's called cash value. Now, this could be whole life. It could be universal life, index universal life, variable
mm-hmm.
universal life. It grows best based on whatever crediting method that based on the whatever choice you choose for whatever life policy you have,
right.
that money grows tax deferred. So you may receive an interest credit of 5 or 10% or whatever that amount
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a 1099 for that. It grows inside it income tax free. You can take it out as a loan, quote unquote, and take that money out income tax free as well. So in essence, what I'm saying yeah. is, there could be huge amounts of gains
that's right.
that can be in this policy, and it could come out income tax free, and no one ever pays taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You take this money out as a retirement income supplement. Many Fortune 500 companies do this. They don't pay any tax on the money. It comes out income tax free, and then you die at some point. So you've
yeah.
taken all this money out,
mm-hmm.
income tax free, you die, and then now your family, your beneficiary, gets that money income
right.
tax free as well. That's why you look at ESPN came out with Jim Harbaugh, who is the
mm-hmm.
University of Michigan's football
oh,
coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Why did he want half of his income to be paid in the form of a loan to be paid into his life insurance policy?
Smart man.
He made $9 million. So $4 million of which goes into a life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
The school pays no tax. The benefit of it is he pays only an imputed tax. So normally,
which is what would that be like on $9 million?
Well, he on the $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, he would pay. But if you look at Michigan's tax, state
mm-hmm.
tax, as well as federal tax, he's at the highest tax bracket. He's going to pay about 45% in taxes,
wow.
right? So if it's $4 million, he's paying about 1.75 normally. This way, he's probably paying about $75,000.
That's amazing.
So he's going to save over $1 million. So that's the first part.
That's brilliant.
Well, that's only the beginning. The second part, it grows tax deferred. It comes out income tax free. So not only did he not pay tax on that money, he'll never pay tax on that money. So life insurance is a huge opportunity. And you can use that money mm-hmm. in multiple ways.
Right.
Life insurance is a way where you can actually have uninterruption of compound interest. Uninterruption of compound interest. Let me make sure everyone
explain that.
Understands that piece. So let's say you have $10,000 in an account.
Right.
And that account is going to make you 10% per year. Okay. So $10,000, you'll make $1,000, right? Now, let's say that you want to go and you want to buy a new pair of shoes, a five pair of shoes, really nice shoes, Valentino's, and they're $1,000 a piece. So I don't know why I just came up with that, but anyway. So
yeah, it says a lot about you, but go on. Not sure what, but go ahead anyway.
So that's $5,000.
I'm trying to stay with you, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. So if you take that money out and an account makes 10%, do you get 10% on $10,000 or do you get 10% on $5,000 that's left? You get $10,000 on $5,000 that's left because you took the other $5,000 out.
I spent it. I got you.
Okay. However, and that's anywhere else. But in life insurance, you can take it out in the form of a loan. And if you take it out that way, then you get the interest credit on the $10,000, even though you took $5,000 out. So even though you took it out, you still receive that $1,000 credit for that amount of money in cash value. Where else can you go and get a uninterruption? So even if you pay yourself back, it's a loan that you may or may not pay back. But let's say you pay it back. Then the following year, now you're going to make 10% on however much extra you put in there. So even though you borrow money, there's uninterruption of compounding of interest. Then that can help anybody tremendously from buying a car, college education, where you can help pay those expenses, but also make sure that you can have the money needed for your retirement. So that's life insurance. But this is typically taught at the highest levels of our society. These are things that most people don't, I would say the 95 percentile don't even really utilize.
Well, I think that some people even have, you know, sort of myths of about life insurance. If I buy it, I'm going to die or something, you know.
Right.
Which is really, you know, counterproductive. But it's so many things like that that and help you to grow and prosper. But somehow, because of the experiences that people have had or been told, they look at it as the direct opposite.
Well, Nick, let me ask you a question. What percentage, you can just give me approximately, okay? What's the percentage, and this is just, you know, of the opportunity or the chance that you're going to die?
100%.
100%, right. Oh, yeah. So if I know that that's going to happen, why not plan for that?
Well, that's even, you know.
Period.
This is interesting logic, but nobody really wants to die. And so they don't really think about dying. They avoid even the conversation of dying. They even call it, you know, passed away. They don't even use the same language to talk
about
that.
That's right.
They avoid it at all costs.
It goes to another point. We've talked about in previous shows saving for kids and giving to kids and, you know, and so forth. How do you teach your kids?
Right.
If this is such a powerful tool, which it is.
It is.
Then why not have this for your children? Okay. Again, we know that the system is rigged, right? We understand that. You just spoke about that a few minutes ago. If we know that, then let's do something about it. So let me just show you how this is rigged. So why not buy insurance, cash value life insurance for your children? So what if this man had bought cash value life insurance for his children and put a few thousand dollars, you know, however much he could into these policies?
Right.
Then they're paid up at a period of time and then they continue to grow and and make money.
Right.
Then now the children can use this as their own financial bank. Because they might not have the opportunity to go and actually get money at a bank. But now they have cash that's available that they can use to buy their first car, to buy their first home, to use for college education. Guess what is, speaking of college education, guess what is excluded on the FAFSA form, which is the student aid, you know, we want to apply for student aid or get financial aid or even for some need-based scholarships.
Right.
Guess what an exclusion is? Life insurance. Why is that? Because it's a loophole for wealthy people.
Sure.
If you want to be like wealthy people, then it's not about buying that stock that, you know, that you're just necessarily supposed to buy that no one knows about and all that. Man, buy life insurance, because I guarantee you 99.9% of everyone who's in that top percentile has insurance. In fact, when they get a certain age, then the parents make sure that the children have it set up in trust.
Yeah.
We've been a part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact. So why not do it for them? And now that money that you've saved can be used, unlike a 529 plan, if they don't go to college, then now you're not going to be penalized and taxed for taking that money back out. And it's not reported on the FAFSA report. So you may have saved $200,000 inside this cash value life insurance policy. Guess what?
It's not drawn.
And you can take out. And guess what? It's liquid. So now, well, there's a form of liquidity there.
Right.
So now it's not included on the FAFSA, so it does not have to be reported whatsoever. So now your child could possibly get financial aid 100%.
Right.
That being the only criteria. I mean, there are other criteria for financial aid.
Right.
But that's the powerful piece of life insurance. So if anything, you buy life insurance because you love someone, but then the second reason is because you love yourself.
Now, let's put it this way. Let's say you're in your 50s.
Okay.
I mean, how would you counsel someone about life insurance? They have none.
Okay.
What would you say to them?
You need it.
Number one.
I mean, first you ask the question, do you love anybody? And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Let's say that they are single. There are a lot of single women who maybe by themselves may not even have any children. And that first answer may be no.
Right.
Okay? And then I'm going to ask them the first answer to that question may be no. And then I'm going to ask them a second question. Do you love yourself? Because this is another benefit of life insurance. We all get older, too, if we're blessed to be here. So instead of buying long-term care insurance, there are now policies where you can actually get that in the life insurance benefit. So long-term care insurance is like auto insurance for the most part.
Okay.
So you spend it and it's gone. So, well, what if you never use it? Well, that money is just gone. Long-term care insurance can be very expensive. And long-term care insurance, just for our listeners to know, is typically for assisted living, nursing homes, home health care, et cetera, which we know the expenses are great. The average cost in America right now is over $200 a day, over $220 a day, which is about $72,000 a year. And that's just on average across the United States. So how do I pay for that? Well, one way is to save. You could buy a long-term care policy. That's another option. But what if you never use it? Americans over the age of 75 typically have a long-term care need. It's a 50-50 chance. Okay?
50-50 chance.
50-50 chance. Well, Medicare covers the first 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
So now that actually goes down dramatically. The numbers go down dramatically. So now you're closer to 9-10% chance of having a long-term care need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's a 90% chance you're not going to use it. You may end up paying, because typically you look to buy long-term care. You start getting stuff in the mail typically when you turn 50.
Mm-hmm.
So the average long-term care need may be around 82 years old. So you could pay for this for 32 years and never use it. Then you may spend for a husband and a wife easily over $100,000 to $200,000 that could just be gone, or more could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But in life insurance, if you have it there, a couple of things are going to happen. One is I'm going to die. Two is if you have a cash value policy, a permanent policy, then you could take money out for a retirement income, tax-free. It's a tax play. Number three will be if I have a long-term care need, then I can take a percentage of the death benefit for this chronic illness or long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
Again, income tax-free. So those are the things that you look for. Because if I'm looking at my golden years, if I'm in my 50s and I'm planning for retirement, I want to make sure I cover all the gaps.
So how much insurance does somebody have then? How much insurance should they have?
It's something. It's all based upon where you are financially. If you have debt, then you need to make sure that if you die, the debts are paid. Mm-hmm. If you have a spouse, your income may be needed. So making sure that you have multiples of that income. If you still have children who haven't gone to college, then you have to look at college savings. So it's going to differ on how much you're going to need, but it's based upon all of those various items. And then from a long-term planning perspective, you have to look at what's the cost of health care, how much money do I have saved, how much do I think I'm going to need. I need to make sure I have enough insurance coverage that will cover me in case I have a long-term care need.
So I'm hearing you talk about, really, in many ways, transferring wealth, you know, obviously.
One way or the other.
Right, exactly.
Even for the folks who say,
and that closes the gap in some respects.
Tremendously.
Right.
Income tax-free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even to the folks who say, I don't want to give my kids anything.
Right.
I worked hard. They want to, you know, that's crazy talk to me.
Yeah.
However,
But Warren Buffett also said something similar like that. He said, well, I don't want to leave the lion's share of my money to my children. They have to work for it. But then he gives them like $1 billion, $1 billion, $2 billion.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Well,
but he's got that was interesting.
Well, see, you know what? There's a star. If you give your children $10-20 million or more, then you don't have to leave nothing else. If you give them millions while they're living, while you're living, okay. They do what you want to do. If you don't want to give me anything else, I understand.
Right.
But for most people, it's about leaving a legacy. You want them to be better than where you were or where you are. And by doing that, then you plan accordingly.
Right.
But even with planning accordingly, you can set yourself up that you have an income stream that you won't be able to outlive. So it's about you being comfortable at the same time and covering those gaps.
Right.
And if you plan properly, then that means you're going to leave something behind. If you never run out of money, that means you're leaving something behind to somebody. Right?
That's
because
right.
you never run out of money.
You don't want to leave it to the state.
Well, yeah, let's hope not.
Right.
But that goes into the actual documents of estate planning. But I wanted to first harp on life insurance because it's easy to get. It's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks about wills and trusts, and it's so important. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do it at some point. Okay, that's a touchy subject because now you are talking about when I die, this will happen.
Right.
I understand that. And it's important to get it done.
Right.
But while you're dealing with all this in your mind,
go
ahead and buy some life insurance.
Yes.
Just make sure your family's taken care of if something happens to you.
Yep.
And then we can figure out the rest ongoing.
Yeah.
So when I think about this guy who had
who was getting ready to take
the world by storm, getting ready to open up a restaurant, but and didn't think about, which many people do, didn't think about passing down or writing down those recipes for his family. Having life insurance.
Right.
And the reason why we know that he did not have any is because they had a U page to actually raise money to bury him.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And so it was.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, Nick, it happens everywhere.
Sure it does.
Every day.
Right.
And that's why the wealth has not transferred. It only goes to a small few pockets. And the people who are buying it are in the top percent.
Yeah, well, you know, there's another tragic story I heard last year with a couple, a gentleman you might have read about in the paper, a gentleman who went to the inauguration with his family, and they drove two cars, and they drove all night and, you know, attended the inauguration. On the way back, they drove separate cars, and he drove with his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he got in an accident, and he was killed and his daughters.
Dang.
And he had no insurance either. And it just was a stark reminder, you know, that you know, life is, you know, is not promised anyone, number one. But then, of course, planning. It was just amazing. And so they took up offerings, and they raised a lot of money. But it was shocking.
It's about the information. Talking to someone. Go speak with the financial planner who knows what they're talking about, who have the credentials. We talk about this all the time. I'm a certified financial planner. I'm an accredited investment fiduciary. I don't get these designations just to make it look good or just to have some extra letters behind my name. There's education that has to be done, years of training in order to be able to have these designations. And it means that, you know, I care enough about this profession that I've studied. I should be able to give you good, valuable information. So finding someone to talk about it, because if you don't know anything about money, let me ask you, to all our listeners, rate yourself. And I ask every prospective client this, from 1 to 5, what is your general financial knowledge? I'm going to let you just rate yourself right now on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being I am a novice, 5 being I'm an expert. I know just as much as Warren Buffett and those guys. And if you are 1 or 2, then you need to go and pick up the phone and find somebody to call right now to say, how can I be the best steward over my family? How can I be even if that person, the family, is just myself, so I can be better equipped? Because we got to stop this madness.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we at.
That's good stuff. That's good news you can immediately use. Glenn, this has been another action-packed conversation we've had today.
Yep.
And thank you so much. And I will see you again next week.
See you.
You listen to The Worth Report.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.